You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The idea that concerns me a great deal that we're going to, after 50 years, decide a woman does not have a right to choose. The idea we're letting the states make those decisions, localities make those decisions, would be a fundamental shift in what we've done. So it goes far beyond, in my view, if it becomes a law and if what is written is what remains. It goes far beyond the concern of whether or not there is the right to choose. It goes to other basic rights, the right to marry, the right to determine a whole range of things.
May the 3rd, 2022. Those are the words of President Biden today as he was preparing to board Air Force One and reacting to the blockbuster news that came out last night as Politico said it had received a draft that indicated that the Supreme Court was ready to overturn Roe v. Wade, the abortion law, as it stands now. Now, again, this is just a draft, and apparently it was drafted several months ago, at least a couple of months or so ago, let me put it that way. The court is not really expected to make a full ruling on a Mississippi case involving abortion until probably June. Immediately, the questions were, is this even legit? Well, today, Supreme Court issued a response to the draft that said, this is from Justice Roberts. He wants to announce that he's called upon the marshal of the court to investigate and find the source who leaked that information to Politico. He's verifying it's real. He said, I now want to find out who betrayed the confidence of our court. The whiplash and backlash has started. We've already seen protesters gather last night in front of the Supreme Court, and there'll be more protests today throughout the nation and into the weekend, and we could see another summer of rioting based upon some of the tweets put out by leftists who are all about abortion rights. Where is the minister of truth and disinformation? You remember Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security Secretary, said, hey, we're not going to be spying on Americans. We're just going to use this as a way to see someone trying to incite something and connect the dots to them. And wouldn't they be shutting down something like that on Twitter right now? And wouldn't they also, that when it's calling for violence, literally, let's burn this Supreme Court building down? It's going to escalate. There is one piece of value that is clear. If you're still trying to decide who's this going to benefit the most, it has given the Democrats at least a talking point for the midterm election. They don't have a candidate. They don't have any winning strategy. They have nothing that's gone their way, but now they can preach and preach and preach about women's rights. Oh, well, I don't know if that's going to be excluding transgenders, LGBTQ, but they're going to push that as their agenda. I've got a couple of guests I want you to hear. They are both writers for The Federalist. Scheduled one in this hour and one the next hour. One this hour talking about the SCOTUS abortion decision leak is truly what actual insurrection looks like. To send out and let that information get outside, part of the intent would be to rile up the crowd, the audience, maybe force the justices to change their mind if they were going to overturn Roe v. Wade. The other one in the second hour, Jordan Boyd, also with the Federalists, talking about how all these calls for violence, how's that going to be handled? And, of course, you may be asking, should Politico have even published this piece? We'll get into all of that. The next 2 hours are going to focus on this story. It is the blockbuster for days and weeks to come. And remind you again, we are also live streaming at rumble.com. Rumble.com. Let your family, friends, neighbors, even your enemies know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees, I heard the angels weep for me. To hide down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The headline at Politico.com right now, just breaking in the last few minutes, is this. United States Supreme Court has voted to overturn abortion rights, draft opinion shows. According to an initial draft majority opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito, circulated inside the court and obtained by Politico, the Supreme Court has voted to strike down the landmark Roe versus Wade decision. The draft opinion is a full-throated, unflinching repudiation of the 1973 decision, which guaranteed federal constitutional protections of abortion rights. And also a subsequent 1992 decision, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, which largely maintained the right. Alito writes in this draft majority opinion, quote, Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. We hold that Roe and Casey must be overturned.
Those are reports from last night from Rachel Maddow and MSNBC as they were breaking the story that Politico had gotten a copy of a draft by Judge Alito, indicating that Roe v. Wade was going to be overturned. Now, Roe v. Wade, remind you, is that landmark U.S. court decision, most of you are certainly aware of that, regarding abortion, in which the court in 1973 ruled that the Constitution of the U.S. protects a pregnant woman's liberty to choose to have an abortion without any excessive government restriction. That's about as neatly defined as you can make it. There are allowances, of course, and of course we also had numerous states now moving forward, especially red states, that have passed their own abortion laws. Texas had the fetal bill underway, the heartbeat bill. The case that was going in front of the Supreme Court this time around came out of Mississippi. And Maddow did raise the question with the legal analyst that worked for Politico, which did need to be asked, especially at that hour last night as the story was first breaking, how authentic is this, or is this just Is this a fabricated? Is this, quote, fake news?
Can you just tell us about your confidence in the authenticity of the document?
Well, we're very confident in the authenticity of this draft majority opinion, Rachel, both in the way that we obtained it and other information that we got that supports its authenticity and makes us believe that it is genuine. Now, of course, it's not a final opinion. It's a draft opinion. It was circulated in the court as a first draft by Justice Alito in February, dated February 10th. So it is possible there have been some changes since then, but it's our best understanding of at least where the court stood at that time, which is about 2.5 months after arguments in this pivotal Mississippi abortion case.
Now, the federal Mississippi abortion case, that, by the way, was the legal analyst and reporter for Politico. The Mississippi case that they're talking about involving federal abortion law was the one that was argued before the court previously, as he was pointing out. They will not issue a full, complete ruling until probably sometime late in June. The case itself out of Mississippi is basically dealing with the constitutional right again, in the sense that the Mississippi Attorney General, who was in D.C. when the arguments were first issued, and the oral arguments, saying that all this was based upon what she's reading again, and I'm trying to catch up as well because more just keeps pouring over. It's like a tsunami that's been released about news coming in on this thing. She's talking about, well, that what she says, I think it's just referring to after we argued it back in December and Feb, that some they sat down and kind of wrote this out, and whether or not it's still true, we don't know. So what they're talking about is that the state of Mississippi and the Jackson Women's Health Organization in Mississippi had argued in front of the court. There were rallies and protests around Jackson in front of the Supreme Court as the case was being heard. Now, when Rachel Maddow questioned the analyst for Politico about the authenticity, you heard him say, we have every right to believe that it is correct or we wouldn't have gone with it. That's pretty much what he's saying. Now, since that time, Chief Justice Roberts has issued a response, and I'm going to read it to you because, again, there are still parts of it that have been crossing at different times. He's basically acknowledging that the draft as released by Politico is accurate. He said, justices circulate draft opinions internally as a routine and essential part of the court's confidential, deliberate work. Confidential, deliberate work. Although the document described in yesterday's reports is authentic, it does not represent a decision by the court or the final position of any member on the issues on the case. And he also called upon the marshal of the court to investigate the situation and find out who is responsible. Well, that same thing has happened as well within Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell calling for the Department of Justice to investigate, press criminal charges against those responsible for leaking a draft Supreme Court decision. You don't see any Democrats calling for an investigation. They don't know. They don't care. If it'll work for their advantage at midterm, they're happy to have it. But according to Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, he has said that based on his experience working as a law clerk, he said, there are very small circles. There are very, very few people in that entire building who had access to the opinion. And I'm virtually certain there are a number of people inside that court right now who already probably figured out who it is. And again, Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, said that person needs to be brought to justice, held to account for what they did here. That brings up the question about should it have even been published by Politico. I want to put that on the plate right now, but I need to come back to it later. Because you need to know that President Biden, in his initial remarks when he was asked about it today, he was trying to say this is much more than just abortion rights issue. In fact, the president is concerned, convinced, that this is going to have far, far-reaching cases beyond abortion.
The idea we're letting the states make those decisions, localities make those decisions, would be a fundamental shift in what we've done. So it goes far beyond, in my view, if it becomes a law and if what is written is what remains. It goes far beyond the concern of whether or not there is the right to choose. It goes to other basic rights, the right to marry, the right to determine a whole range of things.
That is going to be the mantra that you're going to hear from the Democrats all through this summer and leading into the November election, because as I said in the opening monologue, this story has given them finally something to put their hands on and shout out that this is why we should be reelected. Oh, forget the inflation or the gas hikes going up. Forget everything that's gone upside down in the Biden administration. Forget all the illegals coming across, more to come across as of May 23rd when they drop Title 42. Forget all the other issues it all, and forget Biden's mental ability or lack of. Focus only on the fact, in the views of the left, that what the court did by this opinion being released, this draft opinion, is open the door to numerous other opportunities to challenge your civil rights. As if the Democrats are really that concerned about your civil rights, right after they have set up a Ministry of Disinformation, according to the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, that we're not going to be spying on Americans, but we have the full resources of Homeland Security if needed. Do you think he would send his resources in to help in the investigation? Is he working with the Attorney General to find out who leaked this document out of the court, or do they just say, walk away from it? You walk in the room, you set the grenade down, you pull the pin, and you walk back out. Close the door behind you. Despite Biden saying that it's going to go far beyond the scope of abortion, according, again, to the Politico reporter, the legal analyst that was involved on publishing the draft, he wants to point out, this is Josh Gerstein, he said, when you look at the draft, it is very clear this is only dealing with abortion.
There are points at which Alito tries to suggest that, you know, this won't bring all the scenery down. If we move away from abortion to other privacy-based rights, such as contraception, rights like gay marriage, he does try to ring fence this opinion and say, all we're talking about is abortion. He mentions that several times, and he suggests that it shouldn't be stretched into other areas. That said, I'm old enough to know that the court many times has said, don't try to apply our opinion on X to this situation. Why? Because it's different, and yet it often does get applied that way. But there's no question he's trying to keep this confined to the issue of abortion.
And, of course, that's telling in itself, right, to be willing to say, like, oh, this is just about abortion. It's not about anything important. Don't worry. Tells you a lot about the frame of mind.
That response from Rachel Maddow, that's also a tell as to how the left is going to play this out. It's not just going to be women's rights. And boots on the ground correspondent Andrew questioned and says, does this mean women's rights are now suddenly an issue again, that women are recognized as women, not transgenders or whatever else? Keep in mind the Mississippi abortion law that they were dealing with, the ruling coming up, makes abortion in Mississippi legal up to the 20th week of pregnancy. Up to the 20th week. Now, there are several other state laws that have since passed that make it even tighter, such as a heartbeat bill out of Texas. And there will be more coming forward. And there are about a dozen plus states, maybe two dozen, I should say, that have so-called triggers in them, in their laws, that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, they can immediately move forward in their own state and outlaw abortion in their state in its entirety, with or without some exception. So this whole bombshell that got dropped by Politico last night, the repercussions are just starting. this is seismic in the sense that you see in the distance the explosion, but you don't really hear it yet, and you certainly don't feel it, but when it hits, it's going to be powerful. Question on journalistic ethics, and with 50 plus years on that side of the fence and unbiased reporting, it's a legitimate question, should Politico have even released this, reported it? I mean, you go all the way back to the Pentagon Papers, Wikipedia, all of these cases raise that question. Joe Concha, a Fox News contributor and also contributor with The Hill, was asked that very question, and here's his response.
Oh, no, Politico had every right to publish this. If a source within the Supreme Court were to give this to them, they really have no choice but to do that. It would have been journalistic malfeasance if they didn't. And drafts like this are leaked, guys, for one of two reasons. The first, obviously, is DEFCON 1 to liberals, that abortion law could be returned to the states and to start mobilizing now. And it's virtually guaranteed you're going to see massive protests in cities across the country.
Yep, and they started last night, and they will accelerate. Later in this hour, I'm going to be joined by L. Reynolds, assistant editor of The Federalist, on how this leaked SCOTUS draft is, her words, a evidence of a true insurrection. Not what they're trying to call it on January 6th that the Democrats want to label as an insurrection. But before we get there, I want to take you back to what Joe Biden said in 2019 when he was running for the White House as to what he would do if Roe v. Wade were overturned.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dog whiskey, telling my lies.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Those are some of the protesters gathering last night and again today outside the U.S. Supreme Court after the draft opinion was made public by Politico that the court might be ready to overturn Roe v. Wade, and involving a Mississippi case that they had heard back in late December, January. Now, this was the Roe v. Wade court decision affirmed the right to receive an abortion under the 14th Amendment. It's not written into the Constitution, but they used the 14th Amendment when they made that ruling, that abortions were constitutionally protected up until about 23 weeks when a fetus can typically live outside the womb. That was the general conception at that point. I'd mentioned earlier the Mississippi abortion ban that was being challenged. I said 20 weeks. I meant 15 weeks. It's a 15-week ban, and that's what they've been fighting. Several states, Michigan, Wisconsin, West Virginia, had abortion restrictions before the Roe ruling that have never been removed. And others have what we said have approved near total bans or laws prohibiting abortion after a certain number of weeks. Many of those have been blocked by courts previously. Alabama, Georgia, Iowa, Ohio, South Carolina. And as I pointed out, there's about 23 states that have laws aiming to limit abortion access. Multiple provisions in place that so-called trigger effects that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, they will rapidly move forward to deny any abortion for any cause or very, very restricted reasons in their particular states. The left is, of course, going to make this their battle cry going into November now when they had nothing. They had nothing. But when the source leaked it, knowing that once this was put out in the public, it would mobilize the massive group on the left. Well, there's a side to that, the other side, in the sense that it also will mobilize those on the right. But let's go back to where President Biden stood at one time, a devout Catholic. He supported the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment, a legislative provision barring the use of federal funds to pay for abortion except to save the life of a woman. Or if they, and that's a woman. That's the way it reads, a woman. So this new justice coming on, she's going to have to decide what is a woman. Or if the pregnancy arises from incest or rape. The original Hyde Amendment passed 1976. Joe Biden supported it. Joe Biden has supported restrictions on abortion and holding back, although he has said, kind of walking the line that, well, I still think it's a woman's right. But he voted basically to deny abortions and deny federal dollars for helping pay for it and deny, therefore, federal dollars for women who could not afford the abortion otherwise. Do you see any common sense in there? Of course you don't. Why did he flip from where he was? Well, it's because he wanted to get in the Oval Office. And even during this campaign in the primary, when he was going up against the other Democrat candidates, he realized, I've got to make my position clear. Here's how he addressed a gathering in New Hampshire in June 2019 in the primary.
Number one, Roe v. Wade's the law of the land. A woman has a right to choose that decision. And if this court were to overrule Roe v. Wade and I was president, I would make it legislatively. I would push to make it legislatively.
A legislative edict. In other words, codify the law. Now, codifying means simply you're going to take a law that's not that clear, or you're going to take some process of collecting additional information, and you're going to define a new law, and he could do so, he would say, by either executive action, or Bernie Sanders is saying, let's go through the legislature and do it, and drop the required filibuster rule so we can do it, because they're not going to get enough senators to sign on. We're going to spend more time on that and Biden's past in the second hour. But coming up, my guest on how the very fact that the SCOTUS draft was leaked is treason. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race when the Fords and Lincolns were setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is assistant editor with The Federalist and wrote a great piece based upon this political leak of the Alito draft at the Supreme Court. Reminding you again, by the way, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You simply go to rumble.com. In the search part, simply type in one word, Larry Connors USA. Make it all one word. It'll take you right to a place where you can push live and join us in studio. And my guest is L. Reynolds, assistant editor at The Federalist. L., first of all, glad to have you on board.
Thanks so much, Larry. Great to be with you.
Now, before you came in and in the going into the break previously, I made a remark. I want to give you a chance to set me straight if I overreached it. I was looking at your article, reading it, some of the remarks that were in there and some of the headlines. I don't know how much you have to do with the headline, but I said that it's your belief that the leak itself ranks with treason. Is that an overstatement?
Well, I think we're still waiting on a lot of information, and certainly just Chief Justice Roberts needs to quickly investigate this and find who's at fault. But I do think this is certainly closer to anything like treasonous insurrection than many of the things that the left has insisted are insurrection and treason over the past several years, including, the actual decision of a majority in Congress when Senator Manchin and others refused to,
right,
to pass President Biden's agenda. They were crying that this was a threat to democracy, and parents at school board meetings are domestic terrorists. And there was one of the January 6th defendants, I think a month or so ago, was found not guilty on all charges, and the federal judge basically said it was plausible that he reasonably believed he was allowed to be there on the basis of his testimony, that he was just allowed to walk in through the door. So
right,
compared to these things that have been called insurrection, I mean, what we have here is what appears to be a premeditated attempt to agitate chaos and to undermine the process and the legitimacy of the Supreme Court, which is one of our most revered institutions.
And to that extent, by insurrection, you're suggesting or raising that maybe the leaker was believing that if we make this a prime issue, especially going to November elections, one, it gives Democrats a talking point that they can beat repeatedly as opposed to trying to explain everything away that Biden has done. But when it comes down to getting material outside the U.S. Supreme Court, Senator Lee of Utah has already said when he worked as a law clerk, there's a very small circle. They probably already have identified who's responsible. But the point being is, can you put enough pressure that would make any justices that might have agreed with Alito in that, quote, draft now would dare not do anything to uphold Roe v. Wade and worry about their lives and the lives of their families?
Well, that's why this is such this leak is so egregious. It's an attack on the gravity of the court's process. I mean, this is in the Supreme Court. Draft opinions are circulated, and justices nitpick and debate different points of it. But now, any changes that are made to it are going to inherently look like a political change in response to the way that people have reacted to the leak. So it's an attack on that. It's an attack on the justices' trust amongst each other. But I think there's multiple potential motivations for the leak, and they're not mutually exclusive. It appears to be intended to incite fury that would maybe pressure the justices into changing their votes, like you said.
It's a spider web of attack. I mean, isn't it? I mean, it's all over. You can't break loose from one part. You get loose a part of the spider web, but the rest of it still cling to you. And like you say, it's either put pressure on the justices, upon members of Congress, and we've already got them calling out. Biden today said that if I have to, we'll go a legislative route. Bernie Sanders calling for codifying this. Also doing away with the filibuster. Everything's in play at this point again, all because of this leaked document.
Well, yeah, and we have the President of the United States, who professes to be a devout Catholic, and yet he's here saying today that if the Supreme Court decides to overturn Roe v. Wade, which, keep in mind, it doesn't immediately ban abortion in the United States, it sends the issue back to states. And you're going to have blue states and red states making very different deliberations on that. Now, but we have the President of the United States saying that he's going to pursue executive routes and legislative routes to go around the decision of the highest court in the land.
Yeah, and he made it very clear. Like I say, he's got others stepping forward. Manchin's already on record again that he's going to defend the filibuster. So to that extent. And you mentioned these other states. I talked about that before you joined us. I mentioned that it – two dozen states have different plays in mind in place, and 13 of them have the so-called trigger laws, which would go into effect and severely, if not completely, ban abortions in their state. The other question here, and again, you're listening to Al Reynolds, the assistant editor at the Federalist, and I've got a colleague of yours coming up in the second hour talking about how many things went out on Twitter last night, calling for violence and so forth. This is, like you say, creating chaos in the public and in political circles.
Well, that's right, and I think you know, we saw so much anger and vitriol and condemnation of President Trump when he told his supporters fight like hell. Yes. And now we've got, I think it's Senator Gillibrand saying the exact same thing verbatim on Twitter. There's really this push for just mad chaos and reaction, which is making it, you know, putting a lot of political pressure on an institution that, you know, the justices, the Alito's draft decision is heavily based in constitutional law and in the idea that Roe is wrongly decided on a constitutional level and Americans have the right to live. And the states, the majorities of elected representatives in states have the ability to make this decision instead of the court. And so absolutely, this leak has really made it a politicized hot topic. Now, it's unfortunate for the legitimacy of the court.
Now, to that extent, let's talk news ethics for a moment. Joe Concha, also contributes to The Hill and Fox News contributor, was asked, was it right for Politico to release the draft and report on it? And he said, absolutely so. Otherwise, it would have been journalistic malfeasance if someone's going to give it to you. I spent 40-plus years as a news anchor, and on that side of the fence, not having comments, but just straight news. Would the Federalists have done this if they had had that draft in front of them, you think?
I don't think so. I think if you look at the way that Politico releasing this absolutely lends credence to the politicized nature of the leak.
Because Politico is considered liberal. That's exactly the point I'm driving at. Go ahead.
Well, and Politico, as good as admitted the coercive purpose of the leak, they kind of lay down all the steps very clearly in their article, and and here I'm quoting from Politico, the deliberations on controversial cases have in the past been fluid. Justices can and sometimes do change their vote as draft opinions circulate, and major decisions can be subject to multiple drafts and vote trading. The court's holding will not be final until it's published. And so here's Politico not only saying here's the draft, but also spelling it out for everyone that, hey, this isn't finalized yet. Yeah. And the implication there, I think, is that.
But. Is that true?
Exactly.
Yeah, we're gonna all plan a cruise. Everybody get your bags ready to go and everything. And we're talking about it. We haven't even booked it. But this is, I think you nailed it in that sense, that the very fact that they went to Politico with it. What also interests me very quickly is that CBS correspondent on abortion issues and so forth is now heading up the Planned Parenthood News Center, and they just suddenly happen, this leak happens at this point. I got a question along that line, but I know you're not in a position to answer that one. But, Al, I want to thank you very much for your time. I've got one of your colleagues coming up in the second hour. I do appreciate your contribution.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry. Have a good one.
Thank you. Al Reynolds, assistant editor of The Federalist. As I said, in the second hour, we're going to be joined by a colleague of hers talking about some of the vitriol, hatred that was on big tech last night, going uncensored. Nobody tried to stop it. Where's our minister of truth? And coming up, more about these states and how fast they could enact if Roe v. Wade is overturned. Hey, let's do lunch at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles. That's right, Cafe Napoli 3, now open for lunch and Sunday brunch. So let's plan lunch or Sunday brunch at Cafe Napoli in St. Charles. Of course, you always get great food and service at each Napoli location, Clayton, Town and Country, St. Charles. But let me remind you again, for lunch or Sunday brunch, Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
Those things a young man should know. Down on my knees and begging, I plead alone.
pray. I saw heaven every day. All she could.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So once again, this hour, next hour, devoted to the leak from the Supreme Court, which Justice Roberts has accepted that it is an authentic document, but also specifying and stating repeatedly that this is just a draft. Justices do change their mind. This one written by Justice Alito. Now, as I mentioned, more than half of the states could ban abortion almost immediately if Roe v. Wade is overturned. And 13 states have these so-called trigger laws in effect. Let me tell you how some of these would work so you have a clear understanding. Here's what would happen in Arkansas. They have a law in the book that would ban nearly all abortions except in the case of life-threatening medical emergency. And a medical provider who violates that law could face up to 10 years in prison, a fine of $100,000 or both. That's what they currently have in Arkansas. Idaho, their trigger ban would make providing abortions a felony, punishable by up to 5 years in prison if Roe v. Wade is struck down. Kentucky legislature passing a bill which would ban abortions and make performing them a felony offense. Louisiana has had a law in place that would ban a medical provider from performing an abortion procedure or providing drugs intended to reduce an abortion. Now, none of these apply in certain serious medical cases, and none of them apply to the woman. They apply to those who are undertaking and providing and carrying out the abortion. Mississippi, that's one of the cases, that, in fact, that is the case they've been looking at, that the 15-week abortion ban they passed back in 2018, that's the one that's currently in front of the Supreme Court. It states that within 10 days of Roe v. Wade being overturned, the state attorney general can prohibit all abortions in that state. Missouri approving a similar law in 2019. North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas signed theirs into law in 2021. And again, only allowing an abortion if the pregnant person, I guess you'd have to say pregnant person, or can you just say woman's life is endangered, woman and the baby? Man cannot get pregnant. You know that, and I know that, but they've got an incoming justice who apparently does not even know how to define a woman. She is not part of this decision, by the way. You should keep that in mind. Utah also passed a law banning almost all abortions, and Wyoming signed into law last month a provision that will make it illegal to perform an abortion if Roe is overturned. Former President Trump had indicated that he was pretty sure that this court, if it ever dealt with abortion, would end up overturning Roe v. Wade. And the very fact that, as our guest pointed out in the last segment, that the document was released to Politico, knowing that was a liberalist, left-wing organization, publication, that was certainly going to get play. They were not going to ignore it. They're going to put it in play as fast as they could. Why? Well, because of so many ripple effects that are still to come. It is a tidal wave tsunami followed by another one and another one and another one. All the way between now and up to November when we have the midterm elections. And it will go beyond there as well. So we have President Biden already saying, look, if we cannot get this, if Roe v. Wade is in fact overturned, then the actual ruling should be out by the late June, July sometime, then maybe I'll take some executive action or we'll push for legislative action and codify the law that will basically mean we take Roe v. Wade and make it something that can't be changed, period. And, of course, then you've got the push to have the Senate get involved. Senator Bernie Sanders already calling for that. Let's get the legislature together, the Senate and the House, codify the law so it cannot be taken apart. they use and rely upon the U.S. Supreme Court to protect what they want, if it's to their advantage, not what the Constitution says, but just if it's to their advantage. Alito is considered an originalist. He is conservative, obviously, but he looks at the fact that what the court does is not make law, but evaluate cases. And based on this draft that's been circulated, he and the majority of the court, based on the draft, think it's time to be done with Roe v. Wade. And you will hear those on the left cry out, oh my God, we're going to lose lives over this. You lose a life every time there's an abortion. Period. But they don't consider that valuable. They didn't consider women valuable until suddenly now the women's rights and a right to their body is back on the board in front of them. More on this coming up in the next hour. You do not want to miss a single minute of it. Make sure your family, friends, and even your enemies are listening.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.